I did not know what Rabbi J.J. Schechter would be speaking about, but when I listened carefully, I found that there really is a kesher, a very strong link between the two talks this morning. Mechias HaMelech represents a problem to the modern mind. It's not politically correct, to say the least. How do you go about destroying a people? And Rabbi Schechter beautifully and brilliantly gave an analysis of that mitzvah. We, however, faced another mitzvah yesterday in the Sedra that begins Jewish law, and one would imagine that it present the same kind of moral difficulty. Most people don't deal with it. That's in the Chumash. What are we going to do? We just read it quickly and we go on. I want to analyze that, and perhaps this shiur will be somewhat different than the ones that you're used to, in that I decided I'm not going to try to impress you the way in which we used to learn in yeshiva a long time ago, where you would only do a pasuk chumash if it appeared in the Ksos HaChoshen. You know, you would only finally deal with the reality of some Torah text if it was in a very, very difficult and well-known later commentary. I want to do what appears obvious, but what is not obvious at all. I want to share with you a concept that I've developed that I think is true. It perhaps may be a little controversial, and I'm going to have to say it just right, because if I don't, somebody's going to walk out of here and say, well, Blech is an apikoros. I hope I'm not an apikoros. I want to present it clearly, and I think it is extremely important to develop, because as you will see, it is a key principle of Torah. And when I say the word key, I mean K-E-Y, and I mean key Chaf Yud, as I will explain. So, first let's simply state the obvious. Yesterday, we started Jewish law with the halachas of an Eved. In 1860, when in the United States there was a huge controversy, eventually culminating in a civil war, you should be aware of the fact that down south, the Bible Belt said, I don't know what you people up north want from us. We are upholding the Bible. We represent the Holy Word of God. Here it is, Shmos. And they took the Sedra and indicated it's in the Torah. So what could you want from us? We say, well, they're wrong. Why are they wrong? They're just wrong because the North won, and that is not right. How do we understand that? How do we deal with that? Even more significant, intrigued Chazal, how is it that all of Jewish law begins with Mishpatim? Samson Raphael Hirsch gave an interesting answer as to why this is the first body of law right after we learned Yisrael and the Aseret HaDibrot. He said, we're going to start what the Torah is concerned with in terms of halacha, and you can tell the quality of a system of law by who it is most concerned with. In other words, if you were to start Jewish law by speaking of the special rights of those who are multimillionaires, giving them a tax break, I'm not being political, I'm just suggesting, then that would not be a very chashuv way of expressing Torah ideology. Says Hirsch, we start with the lowest rung of society. I hear what he's saying, but I still have a problem back in my mind. So let's go to Ramban and see how he answers that question. Why does Torah law begin with Eved Ivri? And the Ramban makes a phenomenal, I think, point about the way in which we're now going to have the structure of Jewish law, Mishpatim, after we have gotten the Aseret HaDibros in Yisrael. Now, Rashi on the Eloh HaMishpatim says the key letter is Vav. It's not Ela, because Ela would be Puslus Rishon, would be you're starting something totally new, but the Ela, Vav Mosif Al Rishonim, Maharishonim Mishinai, Af Elu Mishinai. I used to learn that Rashi, and I thought simply, all that we're saying is, do not assume that divine revelation ended with the words on the Luchot. This is ongoing revelation and is equally valid. Just as the previous is Mishinai and we accept it, we actually heard it, so too this is Mishinai. Ramban develops a far more powerful and brilliant vart. He says, how are we to understand the sequence of Mishpatim? Mishpatim is after Yisroel, God gave us the Aseret HaDibrot. Now, Aseret HaDibrot, Rav Sadia Gaon already made the very pertinent observation that the Dibrot are not 10 laws. Nowhere do we find the expression Aseret HaMitzvot, which would be the equivalent in Hebrew for the English mistranslation of 10 Commandments. You do not have Aseret HaMitzvot, you have Taryag Mitzvot. What are Aseret HaDibrot, says Sadia Gaon? Aseret HaDibrot are the 10 principles from which derive all Taryag Mitzvot. The 10 are actually the 613, or as some people have suggested, the 613, 6, 1, 3, 6 and 1 is 7 and 3 is 10, that the 613 actually coalesce into the fundamentals, the key of the 10. What we are now going to be doing, Mishpatim, says Ramban, is following up on the Dibros, in order. Why do we begin with the Halachas of Eved? Because we're going to start with further analysis of things that stem from the Dibrot, and therefore we'll begin with number one, and Eved is really a further explication of what? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzivtecha Me'aretz Mitzrayim, Beis Avodim. Deeper. If you understand this, then the Ramban's teretz assumes greater significance with a Yerushalmi. With, not very well known, I don't know why, a magnificent Yerushalmi on the Dibros, which says that actually, when we think of 10 master principles, we're making a mistake. Because there are 2 luchot, 5 and 5, Lamakom and Lachavero, and the way in which we're to grasp what these concepts are is via the idea of linkage, that is to say there are actually only 5 major concepts, each one of which has relevance Lamakom and relevance Lachavero. Lamashal, if I could just give an illustration to make it very clear. Number 2 and number 5 are what? Number 2 is Lo Yelech Elohim Acherim Al Ponoi. Number 7 is what? Lo Tinov, right? Lo Yelech Elohim Acherim. You shall not have other gods, because you are wed to me. At Sinai, you stood under Har Sinai, was Chuppah. We are married. Lo Yelech Elohim Acherim. Don't play around with other gods. In the Bein Adam Lamakom dimension, it's faithfulness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Bein Adam Lachavero, linked side by side, it's Lo Tinov. In terms of your wedding a mate human, then be faithful to your mate. What is the link between number 1 and number 6? What is 1 and what is 6? 1 is Anochi. 6 is... Why are you hesitating? Lo Tirtzach. Anochi Hashem. I am Hashem and I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu. look up to me, worship me. And lo tirtzach, for what reason? You can give many reasons, but for every one of the reasons that you could give a rationalization where it's irrelevant. However, lo tirtzach, the key to lo tirtzach is, it's a pasuk in Bereishis. Shofech dam ha'odam ba'odam dama yishofech, why? Keep it salam alokim, asosa adam. Because man is in the image of God, and therefore lo tirtzach, because there's an anochi, therefore lo tirtzach. Fascinating. Watch the sequence. I'm doing this only to indicate the Ramban is correct. To indicate that what you have in Mishpatim is a follow-up of the Dibros, but a follow-up conceptually, and therefore you don't go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, but you go the first concept, which has an expression on the one hand, Makom, and on the other, Lachadero. After you do Eved, what comes next? What comes next in Mishpatim? What is the next theme? Maki Ishvameis Mos Yumos, etc., etc., etc. And if you did it B'mezid, etc. How do you come to Maki Ishvameis? Because you're doing Anochi, and then you do the flip side, the linkage side of Lotirtzach. You're doing the entire concept of Kibbutz Olam Elokim, Ma'aseh Adam. And why am I saying this so strongly? Because if this is the key to the structure of the beginning of Mishpatim, which has Eved, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Sichem Yatzei Mitzrayim Mebeis Avadim, followed by Maki Ish V'Meis Mos Yumos, Kibbutz Olam Elokim, Ma'aseh Adam, then what we're really saying is, man is in the image of God, and therefore as an Eved, understand that, and treat him as he is created, B'Tzelem Elokim, and conversely, Lo Tirtzach. All very good, Abba'emfet Nishen Kasher. But Ramban seems to be insensitive to the question, and I don't understand, I'm saying at first, I have to throw it on the table here. What are you telling me that this opening chapter of Jewish law is a further extension of the idea implicit in the first Dibur? God spoke about slavery in the first Dibur. Hosea, fine. God spoke about slavery in the first Dibur, but in what context? What did he say? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I took you out because you're not supposed to be a slave, because I couldn't stand that condition that was imposed upon you by Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim had to suffer for what they did to you. Out! Away with slavery! I don't understand. What should the halachas, following the concept of Dibur number one, have said, since you experienced that horrible condition and you realize that I took you out of it, the first law should have abolished slavery? And Ramban seems to be okay with the fact that, this is so interesting. Look, here's the first set of laws, and the law is Kisik Ne'ebed Ivri. Pashtanish, right? Kasha is a good kasha. Especially, the question is intensified by saying that the Torah will develop the linkage immediately with the sixth Dibur, which, as I've told you already, is predicated on a concept, which is predicated on Shofech Dama Adam Ba Adam Dama Yishofech. Why? Kibbutz Olam Elokim Asasa Adam. So man is in the image of God. Therefore treat him in the image of God. That's what you felt about Egypt mistreating the Jews. So the Kasha is a good Kasha. Right? So let's start to see what the Torah says and perceive if we can develop some kind of principle here that will allow us to deal with it. First, if you learn the Gemara in Kiddushin, the Gemara tells us that Torah Shvapeh, that halacha, totally altered the meaning of Avdus, totally altered what an Eved really was, what you were allowed to do to an Eved, what you were not allowed to do to an Eved, so that if someone were to ask the question simply, does Judaism, does the Torah allow slavery? I think the response, the first response should always be, what do you mean by the word slavery? There is slavery that existed in Africa and exists in Africa. There is slavery that existed in America. Uncle Tom's Cabin gave us some flavor of it. And then there is slavery of the Torah. Gemara in Kiddushin. I always think it's one of the most humorous, intended or non-intended aspects of Gemara, that the section of Eved Ivri appears in the Masechta of Kiddushin. I'm not responsible for that, but that's remarkable. Now, tons of halachas. Bottom line in all these halachas is that a slave has rights. It is not unlimited ownership over another human being. There are certain things you cannot, even if you're the master, tell him to do. There are things that you are not allowed to order him to do. You don't have that right. There are ways in which you cannot mistreat him. The Gemara, the most famous illustration, of course, which is always used, is a man has two pillows. He must share one for the Eved, one for himself. If he only has one pillow, the guy feels badly enough anyway because he's the Eved, so you have to give him that one pillow. I mean, that's absolutely absurd. To which the Gemara then adds, Kol hakone Eved ki ilu kone odon liatzmo. We should, in evaluating, first of all, the condition of Eved, make clear something that the Gemara verbalizes in Bava Metzia. Now, first of all, the word Eved is not a negative by itself. That is to say, Eved, from the root word, avoda, work, is not, by definition, slavery work, the horaya, sheshes yamin tavod, v'yosiso kol melachtecho. More, Moshe Rabbeinu, highest designation, Eved Hashem. The Vilna Gaon always made clear that words either have a negative or a positive connotation. You see, it's not a negative word. What is the key difference between Eved and Poel, the word that we use for a worker? The Gemara in Bava Metzia says there's one major difference. It is not a question of whether you have rights or not. An Eved has rights guaranteed to him by the Torah, by Torah law, and described at great length in the Gemara Kiddushin. Poel chozer be'emtza hayom. What does that mean? A poel can quit. An Eved can't quit. That is the key difference between them. You are, in a certain sense, an Eved. You gotta get up in the morning. You gotta show up at work. You have work to do. You have to produce. The only thing is, if conditions become intolerable, you can say, I've had it. Goodbye. I can always get another job. Poel chozer be'emtza hayom. Eved can't quit. He is meshuvad. Now, you'll say to me, if that's the case, so what's the big deal? Then why is he an Eved? I want to tell you that we're going to read shortly that this condition of Avdus is looked down upon in the Torah, is condemned in the Torah, as we would imagine it should condemn it, but primarily for what reason? Did you ever note this? A number of Rishonim say this, so I won't identify it by name. Before the Jews get out of Mitzrayim, what is the first mitzvah that they are given? HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. This couldn't wait for Sinai. This was the first mitzvah. And why? How is that linked with the Geula, with Yetzias Mitzrayim? Because I don't want you to be slaves, and therefore the first thing I'm going to teach you is HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, says the Mechilta, Lochem Hu Mosur V'Ein Atem Misurin B'Yado. Time is given over to you. You will control time. Kiddush HaChodesh. The concept is that you sanctify time. You control time because until now you were an Eved. And what is the definition of an Eved? Not that you work hard. Everybody works hard in terms of working beyond the pale. The master doesn't have a right to do that. But what is the real crime of Avdus? That you are not in control of your time. And therefore, the first mitzvah on the eve of freedom is to say to the Jewish people, this is why you're becoming free, because HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, Lochem Hu Mosur, V'Ein Atem Mosurim B'Yado. I often think of that when somebody says to me, Rabbi, look, I don't have time to learn, I don't have time to this, because of my business, etc. Oh, so you're an Eved. I mean, this is the key, this is the factor that makes you an Eved, right? Whether time is controlled by you, or not, whether time controls you. This is the key point. So, an Eved has a disability. The disability is a strong one. I'm not making light of it. But the first point that we should stress is that the concept of Eved or Avdut in the Torah is a far cry from what you think of when you hear the word slave, slavery. Slavery did not exist in the Torah. But afal pi kein. Now, read the psukim with me and watch something fascinating, and then we'll get back to the kasha on the Ramban. V'yelam mishpatim asher tosim lifnehem. Ki sikne eved ivri, sheishonem yavoru vashviyas yetzelachov shichinam. Now, the Torah has a law of slavery. Could you tell me, what is the first law of slavery that is in the Torah? What is the first halacha? The first halacha is not by a Hebrew slave. The by is prefaced by the word ki. If you do this, ki sikne eved ivri, here is what I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to tell you. The first law of slavery is that it cannot be unlimited, it cannot be forever. It's a 6-year law with a 7. According to the Ramban, it's very interesting. You're going to get a double header here in terms of further explication of the Dibros. Because this is two, not just one. This is, and that's why it's first, a further explication of Anochi Hashem Lekecha Asher Tzitzicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim Beis Avodim. And what else is it? Just as there is Sheshes Yomim Tavo V'Yasiz Kam Lachta V'Yom Hashvi'i Shabbos Hashem Lekecha, there is a Shabbos of Yomim, so too there is a Shabbos of Shanim. There's a Shabbos of Shanim. The first halacha says 6 years, but that's it, maximum. 6 years, and just as Asher Hotzeisicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim Beis Avodim, I'm going to get you out of this one as well. Still in back of your mind, which I'm not bringing to the front of your mind, I allow you to hold on to the kasha. No, if that's how you feel about it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if that's how strongly you feel about it, why are you even permitting what? The 6 years, why don't you abolish the entire system? I hear that. Hold on to that thought. But in the meantime, say to yourselves, in America, they didn't have the courage to abolish slavery until 1863, 1864, 1865, whatever the year was. Emancipation Proclamation. And it's a huge chiddush. A world that lived with slavery as a constant, as no problem, as this is the way the world works, is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is not limitless. You have to understand how huge this chiddush was, and you have to remind yourself that the first halacha, the very first halacha, is freedom. Is go out. Then, what's his wife? What do you mean his wife goes out free? What was she doing there in the first place? The Gemara. Because when you buy an eved ivri, you can't then separate him from his wife. So you have to support his wife as well. Does not mention the shviger. We'll leave that for a separate question. But you have to support your wife as well. Now, Pasuk Hey. What an incredible pasuk. I mean, this is almost right at the beginning. You just started this and you tell me about an eved. And the first fear that you have is that based on the way in which halacha has redefined the situation, Omar Yomer Ha'eved, I like it here. I want to stay. Busi Schlacht. Zu essen, zu trinken, zu schlufen. I have rights. I'm not working that hard. I'm working hard, but Torah has protected me. I have a union. The union is called HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wow. Look at how the fear of the Torah, based on the redefinition of the status of Abdus, is on my Yomer HaEved. I like it here. Lo Eitzah Chafshi. I don't want to go out free. So what happens next? V'gish Adonav Elohim, being the word for Beit Din. V'gish El Adelos Olam Mezuzah. V'rotz Adonav Ez Azna V'matzeh V'yavad Al Yolam. Incredible pasuk. So first of all, Delos Ohala Mezuzah. Where is the first time that we found mezuzah in a halachic sense in the Torah? Which, by the way, according to many, many Rishonim, is the key to the symbolic significance of the mitzvah of mezuzah ad hayom hazeh. Very interesting. We don't make the connection very often. But it was in the Pesach story that we had the mitzvah of taking the blood and smearing it on the mezuzos, the two mezuzos, and the and the lintel. I just want to say it in English, or I'm supposed to say it in English. And that was freedom. That represented freedom. So here you take this guy and you bring him to the door into the mezuzah. V'rotz Adonav Ez Azna V'matzeah. I always say to myself, look at the chilek tzrishin Yidin and Goyim in interpretation of the Torah. You know that in Goyish texts, what they do with this is an illustration of branding. If the guy wants to be a slave, continues to be a slave, then you brand them so it would be recognizable as your slave forever and ever. Chas v'sholem. So what do Chazal say? So there are two pshatim here. One which is obvious, and one where I'm going to tell you the greatest word I ever heard from a Talmud of mine. I'll tell you, incredible. First, the simple, so Rashi brings it down. Oz and Shisham al Har Sinai. Or no, Chesham al Kechashot Sesichim Eretz Mitzrayim Besavodim. The ear that heard on Sinai the first Dibur. So this is perfectly in line with the Ramban. This is the direct link in the Pasuk. The ear that heard, I took you out of the house of slavery and you voluntarily chose to continue. You obviously what? Didn't hear. You didn't get the message. So therefore your ear is pierced in order to make clear that you didn't understand. Now the other answer that Rashi brings is one of the most famous kashas, both on the Gemara, which is its source, and here on the Rashi. The other pshat, Rashi says, is as follows. Where are we? If you take a look in Vav, if you go down a couple of lines, Umar ra ozon l'ratzim ekol shar evarim, why the ear from all other evarim shvikuf, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in Kiddushin Daf Chav Beis Omid Beis, Ozen Zos Sheshama al Har Sinai. This ear which heard on Har Sinai, not the pshat that I told you, that comes later. The ear that heard on Har Sinai, Lo Tignov, Vaholach Veganav, and this guy is we're learning this, there are two ways you could become an Eved. Either out of dachkus, because you don't have to support yourself, there was no welfare, there was nothing else, so you had to do this. Or because you stole and you had to pay back. In Jewish law, the answer is not to be thrown into jail because of us helpless. So, I mean, the guy who stole $1 million from you, he's sitting in jail, but you don't have your $1 million. No, he has to work it off. Very interesting. Great chiddush, right? We haven't come to that yet. So, the ear that heard on Har Sinai, lo tigno, v'holach v'gona, tirotzo. That should be drilled. What's the kasha? Everybody asks this question. Great question. We are doing this when? To the person who, Omar Yomar Ho'eved, I want to stay. I like it here. I desire to continue to be a slave. So you pierce his ear, because how did he get to be a slave? Because he stole. When did he steal? At the beginning. That's what got him into slavery. If this is the reason, if he is correct, when should you do this piercing of the ear? Right at the beginning. That's a Weltkasha. Tremendous question. One year, I was teaching this, you already heard, I teach Shemos, and I asked the question, and I was prepared to give some kind of fun for answer, you know, and there are a couple of tivrutzim that are medium good, and a kid raises his hand, and this to me, ad hayom hazeh, is the prime example of umitalmidai yosem ikulam, and you learn more from your students than any place else. The guy said something, I embraced him, I said, you have an A for the course, and I said, I will repeat this. It was incredible. The boy said to me, Rabbi, we had learned Yisrael, we're up to Mishpatim, and we learned on Lo Tignov, Rashi makes a very strong observation. Since the previous ones, Lo Tirzach and Lo Tinov, are Chayvei Misa, their capital crimes, then this also must be a capital crime, Geneva. Says Rashi, Begonev Nefoshos Hakosiv Medaber. This is talking about someone who is Gonev Nefoshos. What's Gonev Nefoshos? Kidnapping, which we finally, after the Lindbergh trial, made a capital crime. The Torah takes that and says it's a capital crime. It's a chi of Misha. But Gonev Nefoshos Hakosiv Medaber. But Hetzach Gutsu, what the student did, took it a step further. So if that's the case, then when the person first became an Eved because he stole, what did he steal? He stole money. No, stole money, all right. He didn't violate the ultimate lotikna of Sinai, of the Dibros. But when, after 6 years, he says, I want to continue to be a slave, then he is over lotirzach. I'm sorry, he is over lotigno. Gonev nefoshos, whose nefesh? His own! What a tremendous pshat. And for this to come from a Talmud, that he is stealing his soul capital, because he doesn't understand the significance of what he's doing by choosing slavery, this is gonev nefoshos. And that's what he means when he says, after the six, only when he voluntarily chooses to continue this servitude. Vaita. So, if you get some of the Zazno, Bimatseya, the Avodo Liolam. So along comes the Gemara and says, and the Avodo Liolam. So this guy who chooses to continue to be a slave, what a terrible thing. So first of all, we're saying you didn't get the message. We're condemning this act. Okay. But the Avodo Liolam, why? My mother's famous expression. For those who understand Yiddish, that's what you choose, that's what you choose. There were people who, post-Civil War in America, could not deal with freedom. So they chose voluntarily continue to be slaves. If that's what you are, that's what you are. I will let you do it because you have Bechira. But even that is only, says the Gemara, li'olam ad hayohom. By the way, just as an aside, how do you get that Li'olam should be Yovel if Li'olam means forever? You know that Bebez Nishomala, your first Chayev, you become an adult really at age 20. The biblical lifespan is 70. So you basically have your world, your lifetime is 50 years. So that's Yovel Li'olam for the standard Olam. But it's still limited. So what do you have here? You have a fascinating interplay between two poles, which we have to identify. If you were now to be asked, how does the Torah feel about this condition? Well, the first thing we said, which is basic, it altered the definition entirely. So slavery is not what you think it is. But even with all the changes, it is still a limitation on what? On a person's time. Therefore, it's still an avla because you are meant to be free, and still applies. Therefore, I will bring it to an end after six, and therefore I will say to the guy who wants to continue, you didn't get the message, and therefore I will limit it, and 50 is 50, and I'm still going to ask the question. But if you feel that strongly about it, why doesn't the Torah totally abolish it? And here I want to go off on what I believe is a major area of halacha for which I will show you five different places where I think my position is maintained and tell you an amazing concept. I'll have to phrase it the right way, and thank God you can't ask questions until after I'm finished, so it's only after I have been able to develop it from the various sources that you will see what I'm getting at. The fact that something is in the Torah does not necessarily mean it's an ideal. It deals with the reality of the situation as is, and it is the best option for that situation, while at the same time, God makes clear what the ideal is. God does not say, Tikne Eved Ivri, but God says, if you, like the rest of the world at the time, purchase a slave. Now, allow me to say this temporarily, and I'll back up what I'm saying. I know it's very dangerous, but you'll hear. Chachamim have a chiyuv to make zeros. But they are limited in a number of ways. One of them is a gzeiro she'ein rov hatzibur yecholim lamad ba, a decree which the people cannot live with. It's just too tough. It's an ideal, but it's not workable. Not workable defines limitations on chachamim. God works with reality, and at one and the same time, God could say, and he says it as clearly as possible in ways I indicated, this is not something I approve. But if I were to, right now, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, abolish slavery, it would be impossible for your Yetzirah because it goes against the entire world. Therefore, I will allow it, alter its definition, limit it, tell you that I'm not really in favor, and hope that eventually Lincoln will free the slaves. How can I say such a daring thing? Look at the next section. We have something exactly comparable to that in Halacha, in Dvarim Perek Chaf Aleph. Ki seit sela melchama aloi becha, unasana hasham kecha b'yadach v'shivisa shivya. This is the section, I always tell my students, I want everybody to listen, we are going to deal with the section of Yefas Toar, the beautiful woman. There isn't a person then who doesn't immediately perk up, right? We're going to deal with Yefas Toar. So what's Yefas Toar? Risa b'shivya eishas Yefas Toar. V'choshakteba. You have this great desire for her. L'kach d'chol yisha. You want to get married to her. Please understand this is in a specific context. This is not stam mezeit ha'shiksa el mevil zahab. This is army, soldier, fighting away from his wife, away from anything, longest time, been through something which by definition debases us, makes us very physical. And he sees this beautiful prisoner. Now, how do you read this pasuk? It's not simple, you would say. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Sure, you can have her. Sure, why not? Go ahead, take her. The only thing is, I would make a suggestion, a couple of suggestions. Cut off her hair. Do her nails, which Rashi, as you'll see, says. There's machlokes Rishonim, by the way, as to what to do with the nails. One is let the nails grow long. The other is to cut the nails, depending on which is the more beautiful. And what the point was, is to be menavel ota, to make her be disgusting. For 1 month, let her sit in your house. She was Farrah Fawcett beforehand. I'm giving away my age. I mean, just beautiful hair in there. You take off her hair. And she sits dort in the veint, in the veint, in the veint for 1 month, right? And your cheshek, well, hopefully, you will begin to see reality. What have we done here? Pasuk Yud Dalet, v'hoyam lo chastabah. If then you don't want her, v'hoya ein v'hoya, says the Gemara, ela lashon, don't know, simcha, right? V'hoya is halavai. Then v'shilach dala nafsho machalosim renavakes losam v'tachas ashrim nisa. Rashi, Yud Aleph. We need to understand this next line. We need to understand it carefully. L'kach l'chol yisha. Lo dibra Torah ella keneged yetzer hara. What does that mean? The Torah only spoke to the yetzer hara. If you speak to the yetzer hara, then say to the yetzer hara, "Di vils di shikse, smishiget." You know, what does that mean? Lo dibra Torah ella keneged yetzer hara. It does not mean simply the Torah responded to the yetzer hara. But it means the Torah responded with wisdom to the Yetzer Hara in a way that could defeat the Yetzer Hara. We are aware of the approach of the Yetzer Hara. We know what the Yetzer Hara wants, and therefore we say the following. We say, if I'm permitted to extrapolate just for a moment, as a practicing rabbi for many years, I've gotten this often. Parents, and invariably, I have to say, at least in my situation, it was people who had nothing to do with the shul, people who weren't even members, although it could happen otherwise. I'm just telling you from my personal experience. And, oh, rabbi, I have to speak to you. I'm looking for a rabbi. I'm looking for an Orthodox rabbi. My son is going with this non-Jewish girl, and I want you to break it up. Okay. They never sent them to Hebrew school, never, nothing, never showed that religion was important. I want you to break it up. So, Esh luft midi shiksa, right? He's having sex with her, and he wants me to say something in half an hour that will beat all the sex this guy is getting from the shiksa, right? Incredible. I have been successful. Sometimes. No, only when I use this as a starting point. The only success I ever had was to explain to the people, first of all, that over 50% of marriages end in divorce, so there must be something that creates difficulties, even though all people think that they're greatly in love when they begin. So if the average person waits half a year before they get married, I would like you to wait 2 years. Just for your sake, not for Torah. How can you argue in the sense of the Torah says if they haven't been exposed to the Torah? All you need is for them to wait. I have had the experience of somebody who waited a little while, and as a result of an argument that he had with his fiancée, she called him a dirty Jew, B-A-S-T-A-R-D. Baruch Hashem, right? So in time, it comes out. What was the Torah doing here? Stop and think about this. What an incredible thing. You would have expected the Torah to say, soldier boy, you're coming to me and you're asking me for permission with this Yipas Torah? What is the Brooklyn expression? Forget about it, right? Forget it. And the Torah doesn't do that. So what do you see? There is an awareness of reality. Do not take this too far. Because I've had students say, so, if that's the case, then we can say, but this, but it is only in this situation, with the soldier, with everything that preceded, where the Torah said, Dibra Torah keneged Yetzer Hara, because read the Rashi. She'im ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu matira, for if God were not to make it permissible, Yisraeno be'iser, he would marry her immediately be'iser. Aval im nosa. Now here you have more. And this comes out in the following psukim. And this is another way in which Chazal interpret or learn Torah. Smichut parshiot. Smichut parshiot is very significant when laws follow one another. There are people who ask me, it says ein mukdam u'myucha b'Torah. All ein mukdam u'myucha b'Torah means is that things in the Torah don't follow the time sequence. But in halacha, certainly, when you have one law after another, there is a reason. What is the sequence in the psukim? Take a look. Take a look. Go back up on top. So the first section was Yifas Toa. What's the next section? Out of the blue, seemingly, Kisiano liyishtei noshim. If a man has two wives, achas ahuva v'achas nua. A man has two wives, one of whom he loves and one of whom he hates. Why are you suddenly saying that? That we're telling you a halacha about Bchor, even of the one you hate has the firstborn, and the one you love is the next child. You can't switch round preference of Nachla, and the Bchor is the Bchor is the Bchor. But we put it in context of a story. A man has two wives, one of whom he loves and one of whom he hates. What's the connection? And then, what comes right after that? And Pasuk Yudches, Ki Yiel Yish Ben Sor Umorah, En Enosh Mevikol Aviv Mevikol Imo. If a man has a Ben Sor Umorah, the ultimate hoodlum, the ultimate teenage rebellion, En Enosh Mevikol Aviv Mevikol Imo. Why Shomeya Bekol Aviv Mevikol Imo? Gemara in Sanhedrin. Because his father is telling him one thing and his mother is telling him the other. And their voices are not the same. We don't mean just in pitch, but their voices are not the same. They're not saying the same thing. And why would that happen? So go back to the Rashi that we had. Very interesting. So what did Rashi say? Avalim Nasa. But if he marries her, Sofa Lios Sona, Shenem Rachav Gesiyan Eliyosh, etc. Vesof the holy men of Ben Sora Umora. First he'll hate her, because the only thing that brought them together was not common values, but because v'chashak daba. And then, sofa l'holim men abed sora mora. L'kach nismachu parsha sehalolo. So here you have a section that says, here is something, if you look at it cold, simply, stark, you say, it's permitted. Yifashtoya is permitted. And when you look at it deeper, you say, permitted. You have kirachavshi. You have free will, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm going to tell you in advance what the odds are for this marriage. I'm going to make it clear. I'm going to tell you in a way that hopefully you will listen, because if you tell your kid everything, what to do, what not to do, and you're too tough, you won't listen. You have to have the wisdom of knowing when yes and when no, and when to say it in a manner that can be acceptable. Lo dibra Torah l'keneged yetzer hara. Watch. Within what we just quoted, we have another powerful example. We just read, Ki siyeno le'ish shtei noshim. Let me show you something incredible. Shtei noshim. Polygamy, I was going to say. Bigamy, polygamy. Permissible or not permissible. So here you have a remarkable thing that happened in Judaism. You have in the Torah, you are allowed to have more than one wife. Along came Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom, Ma'or HaGola, and he said, what? Usher. Matter of fact, I can't resist sharing this with you. He is called Ma'or HaGola, the light of the exile. The only one who got this title, Ma'or HaGola. I want such a tremendous part, which I can't resist sharing with you as we're going through this. Why is he called Ma'or HaGola? He made two takanas. One is, you can't have more than one wife. And two, you can't be Megarish Bar Karcha. Whereas in the Torah, according to Halacha, you can give a get Bar Karcha without her will. We must have her consent. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu observes the Torah. Even law that we pass, Chachamim pass, HaKadosh Baruch Hu observes it. Now, if we sin, we are married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The chuppah, as we said, was Harshina. We're married to God. We have a Choshen Kala relationship, Shir Hashirim relationship. We're married to Him. What if we're bit? If He wants to divorce us, He can't divorce us, Bar Karcha. If He wants to, all right, I'm still married to the Jews, but I'll take another nation, He can't have another wife. Rabbi Negeshem is Ma'or HaGola. He saved us. He saved the Jewish people. But what I'm asking is this. How could any rabbi come along in history and say something connected the Torah? The Torah said yes, and he said no. Answer. The Torah did not say, go and marry another wife. As a matter of fact, the only place where you find a bigamy situation in halacha, in the halachic realm, is in this pasuk. The only place where you find, I'm not talking about the others now, and it's Yotzei Min HaKlal, it's Kodemat and Torah, and maybe Yaakov had to have more in order to speed up the process of having Bnei Yisrael, totally different. But if you ask me, where do you find halachically the category of bigamy in this pasuk? And what does the pasuk say? Kisiyeno le'ish shtei nashim, achas ahuva, v'achas snua. If you ask me, and I'll say it in a way that you will give me the correct answer, what is the paradisiacal state? What is ultimate? What is the ideal? So you ask the Muslims, and we know 72 versions, right? And there's a lineup and they're running out, right? We know the cartoon. If you ask what is the ultimate state that is paradise, Adam and Chava. Adam and Chava is one-on-one. So Rabbeinu Gershom was able to do the following. The Torah allows it. The Torah made clear when it allowed it that it was not an ideal. I think that we're ready to turn the ideal into halacha. That's a daring statement, I know. But that is the equivalent of, look, God said, I can't tell you at this stage of history not to have slaves, so I'll tell you, make it six and that's it and go out free. God could not, say to the soldier, you can't have her. So he found a way to say it while expressing his discontent to allow it. It was allowed, but not ideal. How do I know that? Watch. This concept has another application. And here, it's the simplest to understand. They tell a famous story of Reb Chaim Brisker. A man came to him and said, a man in his 80s, Rebbe, will just get mit mein Weib. I want to divorce my wife. 80 years old, you managed until now, whatever, in the Schwiegerlich schon gestorben, right? So, I mean, what could possibly be a problem? He says, no. I love my wife, but I'm going to be going Olam Haba not too long. I have to make preparations. And therefore, I want to be b'chaim as many mitzvahs as I can. Get is a mitzvah in the Torah, so I want to fulfill the mitzvah before I go. Now, you have to understand, a pasuk de yid and a mistake, but what's the mistake predicated on? If you take a look at the pasuk, ki yigach ishishobola v'hoya im lo timtzachen b'enav ki motzo be'eras davar, if it's a ki motzo be'eras davar because of los sefer krisis. Now, when you have that situation, there are times when in my career I advised people to get divorced. Even though the Gemara says what? That Mizbeach morid mos, that the Mizbeach sheds tears. Mizbeach, by the way, brings shalom, and now there is no shalom. So, how do you deal with that? I mean, Christianity deals with it by saying, no, it's forbidden, that's it. And we say, better this than that. We deal with reality. It doesn't mean that you must divorce your wife. It means that when the situation is this, this is better than that. But the ideal is live together with shalom. And God is even willing to have his name be erased in the halacha of Sota in order to create shalom. Which answers, to my mind, one of the most fascinating questions that had to do with a historical moment. What is the ideal political reality? It would appear in Dvarim Perek Yud Zayin. It says, Pasik Tesvav, Som Tosim Alecha Melech. Place upon yourself a king. Now, the Torah was concerned with kingship. And what did it do? Lord Acton said, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. So even though the Torah said, Som tos melecho melech, it nevertheless restricted the powers of the king in how many ways? In three ways. There were three lo yarbelos. And what are the three lo yarbelos? Horses, meaning military might, so it became a military-industrial complex, shade of Eisenhower's speech years ago, right? It was sources, meaning susvarochvo, it was the military. Then what else? Kesef, right? Too much money can make you a little crazy. And one more thing can make you a little crazy, too many women, right? The Clay Yucker has a fantastic mnemonic, Rosh Tevis, for that. He says the throne, the kisei of a melech in Judaism, is kisei chav samach aleph, kesef, sus, isha. Those are the three, and they are restrictives. So you have a mitzvah of melech, but not unlimited power. Now, here in history, watch in Shmuel. Vahi kashazok in Shmuel b'yosmos, one shot from Yisrael. Vahi shemnayinak yigal, where are we? Here we are. Pasik dal, yiskatsik, wazik nisrael b'yol, Shmuel amrata, v'yomra love, hinei atas gant, v'necha lohoch v'decha atas, sim lo ne melech, lo shabteni, v'chol ha-goyim. We want a king like all the nations. Vayera hadavar be'enei Shmuel. And the matter was evil in the eyes of Shmuel. And he then said to them, you don't want a king. He said to them, what's going to happen? He says he's going to take your daughters, he's going to tax you, he's going to work you, he's going to this, he's going to that. You don't want a king. I don't understand, Shmuel. You never read Dvarim? I understand. How could he go against the pusik? The reason is because I tricked you. Because what I purposely did when I quoted the section before in Dvarim, I started with pusik tesvav. But I did not read the intro to that. And what is the intro? Pasuk Yudalag? Ki sovel ki. Ki sovel arts. Asher Hashem lekech anos lechok v'yishtav yishach deba. If, when you come to the land, v'yamarta, and you will say, if you will say, watch this line, asimo alai melech, kechol ha-goyim asher svibo soi. I want a king. All the other goyim are doing it. What do your kids tell you? But all the other kids are doing it, right? So I want to do it. If they come to you and say, we want a king kechol ha-goyim, Mr. Meshige, you have melech malchem lochim. What do you need it for? But you say that's what you want. Look how God works. You have bchira. If that's what you want, I will allow you and I will do it in a way that is different from what is commonly done, because I will alter the rules significantly so it's not unlimited power, but I'm still telling you it's not an ideal because you want to imitate them. That's what Shmuel was doing. He was reacting to a key halacha. So if I can just finish, and let me not permit you to fall into a problem that some of my students sometimes did when I went through this. Now, that does not mean God compromises with reality, therefore we have to compromise with reality. Chas v'shalom. I would say faket. These instances of law are prefaced by a key. When, if you do this, then I say that. Faket, any time God gives a halacha without a compromise connected with it, where God says, but if you want to do this, then is a raya that God is saying, you can do this fully. Is a raya that this is not a gzeir she'ein lo v'tzib yichon lamabo, but this is something that can and must be done the way I say it. Therefore, every halacha must be fulfilled the way it is, unless the halacha is presented in a manner whereby initially it's clear this is not an ideal key sickness. Then I say, etc. Why don't you outlaw it altogether? Because I, God, am waiting for you to be ready. We have become ready for. We become ready for one wife. We have become ready for Shalom Bayis. We become ready for abolishment of slavery. We understand the difference between the ideal and the real. So therefore, I say to you, we ought not to be troubled by the opening of Mishpatim. The Ramban is beautiful, and I close with that. The halacha of Eved Ivri is the full completion of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeicha Me'eretz Yisrael Mibeis Avodim. So thousands of years ago, the Torah made a break with the reality of the entire world at the time. That was extremely significant, the Sheish Shanim Yavod and the Shviyas Yetzir Lechavshi Chinam, making clear at the same time that the ideal would be the abolishment of slavery, which Baruch Hashem we have. Hayom Hazeh.